You are listening to the Next Best Picture podcast, and this is our review of Star Wars: The Last Jedi.
When I found you, I saw raw, untamed power. And beyond that, something truly special.
Has always been there. But now it's awake. And I need help.
I've seen this raw strength only once before. It didn't scare me enough then. It does now. Kill it. If you have to. That's the only way to become what you were meant to be.
Alright everybody, you were just listening to the trailer for Star Wars: The Last Jedi, and the story is as follows. Rey develops her newly discovered abilities with the guidance of Luke Skywalker, who is unsettled by the strength of her powers. Meanwhile, the Resistance prepares to do battle with the First Order. It is starring Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher, Adam Driver, Daisy Ridley, John Boyega, Oscar Isaac, Andy Serkis, Lupita Nyong'o, Domhnall Gleeson, Anthony Daniels, Gwendolyn Christie, Kelly Marie Tran, Laura Dern, and Benicio Del Toro. It is written and directed by Rian Johnson. Joining me for this review, I have Dian Chiesese.
Hi, everybody. Nice to be back.
And Dan Howitt.
Hello. Glad to be back as well.
Okay, everybody. So, Star Wars, well, it's kind of a big deal, you know?
Feels like a lot of pressure.
Yeah, yes. Definitely. I mean, in a way, it is. I mean, it's the last big movie of the year, unless if you count something like All the Money in the World. But this is the biggest movie of the year, saved for the very last minute, and it is a sequel to what is currently, I think, in terms of just like box office, especially just here domestically in America, the highest grossing film of all time. And let's just start off with like a very, very quick question here. Dan, like, thoughts on Force Awakens? Do you guys like it?
Yes, I am a huge fan of The Force Awakens. I think that JJ kicked off the new series perfectly. I'm just a really huge fan.
Yeah, I will venture to say that for me, it is my second favorite Star Wars film behind Empire Strikes Back.
Wow, yeah, I'm pretty close to that too. I have Empire New Hope, and then that comes next for me. But definitely that was a big win when that came out. I loved it.
Okay, now that we know that, Dan, pressure's on you. Let's hear your thoughts on Star Wars: The Last Jedi, but with no spoilers. We will have a spoiler section in a little bit.
Yeah, so there is so much to say. So I'm just kind of keep my thoughts general here. Obviously, like we said, no spoilers. I really, really enjoyed this movie. I think there is so much that is right here. So much good stuff. Incredible visuals. Some of the best visual moments in any Star Wars movie, I think. So there's a lot of great stuff. The character development and the character arcs and choices that we're going to dive into in spoilers, I think were all excellent. They made a lot of big choices that I think were the right ones. And so that all worked really well for me. That said, there's also a lot wrong with this movie. There are a lot of things that really disappointed me. This movie has a totally different structure than any other Star Wars movie so far. And so because of that, it just felt so different. And it took me a while to kind of settle in. And I never fully did, because the structure is just weak. It's just the actual plot of, what happens, not emotionally, but the actual physical, what did the characters do? The answer is almost nothing. This movie takes place over a very short period of time and not a lot happens other than emotionally and in the arcs of the characters. But, so I was not a fan of the plot at all. I think they took a lot of logical leaps, and it was just kind of weirdly dull. So that really frustrated me. But still, like I said, there's so much good here that it does redeem itself in the end, and I enjoyed the emotional arc so much that I can still safely say that I really, really enjoy this movie. And it has possibly my favorite lightsaber fight scene yet in any Star Wars movie. I guess talk about what that is a little later. And then it also has my least favorite planet that we've ever seen in any Star Wars movie. So just the whole thing is just kind of like a mixed bag. There's a lot of good and a lot of bad, but ultimately it's still really enjoyable.
Okay, Deanne, you're up.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more. I got sucked in and sucked out of this movie more times than a movie watching experience in a long time. Anytime Kylo Ren was on the screen, Adam Driver, I was so into this movie. I just wanted more of that. But then there was, even in some of the character arcs that happened, for example, I'll just throw out like Laura Dern's character is an example for me, where every time that was going on, I was kind of looking around for something to do. There was just nothing tying me to what was going on. So I felt like it was very inconsistent. But when it was good, to your point, Dan, it was really good. And I think that the third act actually worked really well. And like we said, we'll talk about that part, because I definitely think for me that was the highlight outside of the kind of development of the relationship between where Kylo and Rey were going. That part was also obviously, you know, the standout for me. As far as the visuals, I agree. There are some beautiful shots. There are some interesting choices with creatures. The milking of the green creatures was just not for me.
That was so weird.
So unnecessary.
It was so weird. I didn't get it. So that's what this was. It was just these moments of like, oh my gosh, I'm totally loving this and I want to see more of this. And then all of a sudden, whoa, I don't want any of this. And so for that reason, it was confusing for me. But somehow, oddly, kind of pulled it together at the end.
Yeah. There is no doubt in my mind. And the numbers are there, so, I mean, the numbers don't lie. This is the most divisive Star Wars film yet. I think in time, I feel like people will maybe grow to appreciate it a little bit more, because I can foresee how with the third film, there are things that don't necessarily make sense now that might make sense later.
Yes.
Definitely. Logic follows. So we'll see. We'll see. Suffice to say, Rian Johnson has given us what I think is probably the most unique Star Wars film that we have ever received. And I think that is why it is definitely so much in the... Some people love it because it feels so fresh and so different and so wild. And some people really hate it because I don't know if they were hoping it to be more like Force Awakens, which many people also hated because Force Awakens, they complained, was a clone copy of A New Hope. So it's like, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't, it seems like, with Star Wars nowadays. Now, What I tried to say in my review of The Last Jedi was I tried to be as objective as humanly possible. I will give props where props are very, very well deserved. Visually, this movie looks stunning. I mean, it really, really is fantastic. The use of red in this movie especially is so awesome. I loved every moment of that. The work by Adam Driver.
Wow.
Not only is he the most well-written character, I think, ever in Star Wars history, but his performance might quite possibly be the best performance in any Star Wars film also. Like, end of story for me. Every time he is on screen, Deanne, 100%, I'm with you. And you know what's really funny, too? I don't know if this was because of, like, the SNL gag from a couple years ago, but do you guys remember in that SNL skit they talked about how, like, oh, I hear Kylo Ren is, like, really jacked. I hear he's got
when he's, like, undercover boss.
Yeah. I don't know if that was thrown in, you know, for that reason or what the deal was, but we'll get into that maybe a little later because I do have possibly a little bit of a suggestion as to why that odd moment was there. But that's the thing, though, about The Last Jedi is that there are a series of just very odd moments that do take you out of the movie. So I wanted to see Adam Driver. I wanted to see Rey. I wanted to see Luke Skywalker. I wanted to see Finn. But they didn't give Finn anything to do in this movie that was worth my investment. Mm-hmm. I hear people complain about how it's like Finn has nothing to do. No, Finn does have plenty to do. The problem is that it just doesn't work and we're not as emotionally invested in him this time around as we already have our characters. We like Finn when his story is tied more closer to Rey's. But when he's off on his own adventure, on his own path, doing his own thing, there is no connection then between him and Rey that we got in Force Awakens. And in fact, to me, it really like just it killed almost every single scene that I thought he was in. And then, of course, they introduced this new dynamic, this new relationship with this character, Rose, who it's fine. Okay, sure. But I just feel like along with some moments of very, very, very forced humor in this movie, I felt like that relationship between Finn and Rose was also forced.
Yes.
God, there's a lot of use of the word force in this review, huh? but that is the case here, is I didn't feel like The Last Jedi, for all the things that it does do right, I didn't feel like it flowed as naturally and as smoothly as Force Awakens did. Force Awakens had a rhythmic style to its editing, its jokes, its pacing that made it a very, very breezy, enjoyable, easily digestible 2 hours and 15 minutes, what have you, at the movie theater. Where Last Jedi, you know, Dan, you were talking about structure before and how this is the longest Star Wars film ever, 2.5 hours, over 2.5 hours technically, and it takes place over the shortest period of time in any one of the Star Wars films. And as a result, the movie like wants you to think it's going to be this fast-paced race against time. Oh, we're down to our last, you know, bits of fuel. Oh, we're down to our last men. Oh, this is our last stand. Everything is last, 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 you know?
Yep.
How many times do we hear General Hux in this movie say, obliterate them once and for all? You know, I'm sorry, but you said that, like, dude, like 15 minutes ago. When is going to be the last time that you're going to, you know, declare that this is the end of the resistance? You know, because every time we got to a point in this movie where there was a big set piece, it was like, this is it. This is the end. Oh, no, they managed to stall and buy time. Oh, now this is the end. This is the end. And you know what it creates in the audience? The long runtime, along with that just constant feeling of, this is it, this is it, this is it. Instead of gradually building towards a climax, where then at the very end, they say, okay, now this is truly it. This is the last stand. It left me feeling like I just sat through a Transformers movie. I hate to say it.
I
was exhausted by the time this movie was over.
Right, but also bored in some ways.
Because like I was saying before, the editing between going from Poe and Laura Dern on the ship to Rose and Finn to Rey, back to Kylo, et cetera, et cetera. it's something about the way, and I could tell within the first few minutes of the film, I don't know if anybody else was able to do this, but I could tell within the first 5 minutes, the editing just doesn't feel right. Something does not, it just didn't feel right to me. And I don't know if that is because Force Awakens, I just had that implanted in my brain so much, and I've seen that film so many times that I was expecting the style to be the same, like though as if it's the same filmmakers working on it. It's not. But I guess I just was not prepared for, you know, how jarring this experience was really going to be.
Did your crowd laugh at the humor, speaking of? Because I have to tell you, mine didn't. And it didn't work for me either.
In the beginning, yes. Uh-huh. But I do feel that, yes, as it went along, there seems to be lately like this Joss Whedon-esque style of humor.
Yeah.
That ever since like the Avengers films, like that's like the new way to go in terms of injecting humor into like these big blockbuster films, where people just point out how ridiculous certain things are. You know, like there's a scene where like Kylo Ren, you know, practically gets told that like his mask, you know, is immature essentially, you know, and it's meant to be like kind of funny, but not really kind of serious. You just don't really know. Or, I don't know, like, I keep going back to this one moment with Luke and Rey in the very, very beginning of the film. And does everyone know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Yes.
Their first moment together?
The first moment together, yes.
Yes.
I keep going back to that, and I keep just going back to this feeling of, I don't know. I almost feel like as the middle chapter here and what is supposed to be the quote-unquote darker film of the series, I was expecting, and maybe this is the problem, maybe my expectations hurt me here. I was expecting it to be darker and not as light and as funny. I suppose the third film is going to be the darkest one, I guess, now at this point.
I don't expect dark at all. I feel like that moment that you're referring to was almost a middle finger to the ending of The Force Awakens, because it kind of removed all of the weight that ending, the amazing ending of Force Awakens had, because now we know what comes after it, and for me, it kind of ruins it, all for just a cheap joke.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really disappointing.
I mean, they also, there's a moment with Poe in the very, very beginning as well. Do you guys remember, like, in Force Awakens when they bring Poe before Kylo Ren and he has that moment where he's like, who talks first? Are you going to talk first? Do I talk first?
And it's great. Yeah.
That is really great. But then they kind of do it again here, and it's over, like, an intercom system. And I don't know. Just something about it. Maybe it's just the way Rian Johnson directs comedy. Something just wasn't clicking. And I can't tell what, but I know the difference. You know what I mean?
I know. I think the thing is, with other Star Wars movies, there was humor, like for sure. They were light, but here it's like the jokes are long extended moments. Like they're huge. Mm. They're long moments of comedy. Whereas in Star Wars, in older Star Wars, it's just kind of like just quick moments or a quip here or there. But
I think I know what you're trying to say, Dan. The moments of humor that you're referring to, possibly like especially within the original trilogy, those moments of humor are rooted within character.
Right. Exactly.
These moments feel like they're manufactured because the screenplay requires that there be laughter.
Yes.
Right.
That's a great way to put it.
Mm-hmm. I am very, very confident I will stand by that statement.
Yeah. And I think it's obvious watching this movie that Rian Johnson, you know, he has never directed a blockbuster before. And I think it's very clear from watching this movie that he's not interested in directing a blockbuster as we know them with big set pieces and battles and this and that. He's really interested with character and developing the characters and emotion. And I think he does that very, very well. But that's why the plot is so weak, because there's just nothing to it. There's, like we said, it takes place over a very short period of time and just nothing happens. So, yeah, that was really disappointing.
Mm. What do you got, Deanne?
Well, I'd love to get into spoilers. Can we do it?
Yeah, I feel like at this point it's very, very difficult to possibly talk more about The Last Jedi without getting into spoilers. Yeah. And I feel like the conversation could definitely blossom a lot from there. So why don't we do this? Why don't we get into the spoiler section here? You guys can skip over to the end of the podcast if you want to know our grades, rating on it, and any Oscar potential that we foresee for The Last Jedi. So head over now to spoilers.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Okay, so there's like a list, okay? There's like a list of things that I want to touch upon with this movie.
Yeah.
All right, so the number one thing that I hate so much about like the Poe and Laura Dern subplot in this movie here is I can't stand why... the Vice Admiral, like, why does she just not tell everybody that they were going to a nearby base to call for help? Like, what was the point of concealing that from Poe and from everybody else all this time? And I guess the short answer is, if she just told them, hey, this was the plan all along, then we would have had to have cut 15 minutes, I guess, from the movie. Yeah. But it just feels like all that bickering on the ship between those two characters was literally all for nothing when that plan was ultimately revealed.
I completely agree. And that is the problem with most of the movie. It's all manufactured just to give us something to do while we cut back to Luke and Rey.
Yeah.
So I feel exactly everything you just described applies to most of the movie for me.
Right. Luke and Rey and then Kylo and Rey.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, that's my big qualm there. I do like Poe's progression as a leader.
Mm-hmm.
I do like that they show that he's, you know, coming into his own, you know, the space cowboy that's trigger happy needs to learn how to not be a hotshot and really, you know, take responsibility for his actions. I like that. That's great. And Oscar Isaac is really phenomenal.
Yeah.
At, you know, really selling that. So that's all well and good. I also really like how that's also contrasted with the rise and ascension of Kylo Ren in this movie as what I suppose now heading into the third and final film. Shockingly, Kylo Ren is going to be the big bad
mm-hmm.
of episode 9 because holy shit, they cut Snoke in half.
Yeah, that was awesome.
So Daniel, was it that one or was it the Mark Hamill fight? That was your favorite.
Oh, no, it was that one. Right after Snoke dies, that scene is amazing.
I agree. The scene is amazing, and the choreography is incredible. It's really, really badass to just see Kylo Ren and Rey fight the Knights of Ren. And, of course, it's not just, like, them fighting other characters with other lightsabers. Like, they actually have, like, very unique weapons that gave it a very interesting feel. And it wasn't, you know, oh, dispatching of henchmen. Like, there was an actual fight. Like, it was a struggle, which made it very, very fun as well. But... oh my God, guys, after so much buildup of Snoke and Force Awakens and all these like theories about like who is he and like, you know, what's he going to become? And of course, you have Andy Serkis playing him, one of the greatest actors of our generation. Yeah. And then for him to just go away after that one scene, I was very, very upset because A, I really dug what Andy Serkis was doing with the character and I wanted more of it. And B, we never did get those answers to why the hell should we even care about this character now, you know? That's part of what made Force Awakens so great was that there was an aura of mystery to what is Snoke's backstory, like what, like how did he rise to power, what can he do, like what surprises does he have in store for us? Oh, I guess we'll never know now. We cut the motherfucker in half.
Yeah, I've been thinking a lot about that because my initial reaction was that the same way. We've been having all this buildup and who is he? You know, where did he come from? What's his purpose? But I was thinking about the original trilogy, and we really didn't ask those questions about the Emperor when he was on screen. It was just this ominous big bad. We didn't care where he came from. Obviously, we learned where he came from in the prequels, but I think we would have probably been okay without knowing that. And so I think maybe the mystery box of Snoke wasn't as intentional. Like maybe it wasn't supposed to be as much of a mystery. Either that or Ryan just gave yet another middle finger to The Force Awakens. I don't know. I don't know which
it is. It's the only quote-unquote twist in the movie that I had a little bit of a problem with because I just felt like that character was very underdeveloped. I don't think that we got enough of him, and I am hoping against hope that this is actually like a fake out and there's going to be a twist, and somehow, some way, I don't know how, somehow Snoke makes a return in episode 9.
Yeah. But the part that made that scene so amazing and the tension all pay off so well, obviously, is just the build up to it. And that's what I want to talk about for a second. I mean, I just have to gush on this Adam Driver thing. I think Daisy Ridley was great, but I even think that he even helped her be better. And
yeah,
there was something about the way that he managed to make me as a viewer actually want her to be with him that I was yes. like, how are you doing this? Yeah. How is it that I am sitting here going, holy crap, I kind of hope this works out because there's actual chemistry here and I'm really digging it. And then it caused all this conflict, you know, when it's kind of going south. And I just thought that was the part of the movie that, you know, just is going to stick. And it was awesome.
You know, the whole idea of, is she going to turn him? Is he going to turn her?
Mm-hmm.
Or are they going to just stay apart? What's going on there? I got to say, I think them both resisting each other and being on opposite sides might be the most boring of the three choices to go with there. I was kind of almost hoping, because I a part of me was like, oh, they're really building up Poe in this movie a lot, you know? Mm-hmm. And I started wondering, are they going to do, you know, the third film as Rey and Kylo Ren are together and they're both like the two bad guys against the rest of our heroes?
Is that sad? I wanted that.
Me too. But we never got there. And maybe there is still a chance that we will get there. Because I do feel that the connection that these two characters share with one another is certainly not over yet. I even started to wonder, are they heading in a direction with these two characters where they're going to just end up, quote unquote, together, like romantically?
Right.
Because remember before that shirtless scene,
mm-hmm.
you know, where we saw Kylo Ren's, pack of, you know, he's shredded. He's a shredded ox, this guy, you know? I almost started to wonder, like, is there a sexual vibe that I'm supposed to be getting from this as far as like Rey?
Oh, I thought so. That's how he was looking at her that way.
But
he was.
But are they really going that way? And if not, then what was the point?
Right.
Yeah, that's a good question.
See, that's why I need to see this third film. And I got to wait 2 years to see it for all of this to freaking make sense to me. You know? I'm so on the fence. Okay, so you know, moving on from that and talking about Mark Hamill as well, this is by far Mark Hamill's best performance.
Yeah,
in you know anything ever, except maybe voicing the Joker. I don't know, thousands of times in all of the animated series and everything else he's ever done it for. But his performance as Luke Skywalker is easily his best. I did not have an issue with him dying peacefully and becoming one with the Force the same way that Yoda does in Return of the Jedi. I know some people were really pissed off at that, but he even says, there's a line of dialogue where he says, I came to this island to die. And I suppose like from a destiny standpoint, maybe he's waiting for the Force to take him. I don't think he has the ability to do it willingly. Because I think if I remember correctly, like Yoda went in Return of the Jedi after he had kind of set Luke on the right path, and like training Luke and making sure Luke was ready was like the thing that Yoda had to do before he was ready to go. And I think with Luke, he had to bring hope back to the Resistance, make that final stand, and really set Rey on the right path. And once that was done, that's when Luke could go. You know what I mean? That all made sense to me. Did it bother any of you guys, though?
No, that didn't bother me at all. The only thing that bothered me, and it was kind of an issue throughout the whole thing, is this whole Force bridge kind of idea. Because I think his performance at the end, where he's kind of battling Adam Driver, was really interesting. And for it to just be this, that he's not really there, kind of, I don't know, it kind of made it cheap. Because it was just such an easy thing. He's not really here. He's just doing this with his mind, this thing that we've never seen anybody else do in throughout 7 movies. So it just felt like an easy way to put him there without really being there. So I don't know. I wasn't a big fan of that.
Some of the writing was a little bit of a slog in the beginning for him too. I connected with him a lot more in that third act. That's what kind of brought it together. And that was where that beautiful shot, my favorite shot in the movie was by far, was that scene with all the AT-ATs lined up and going after him. Oh,
yeah, that was great.
And him just walking out there all by himself.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah.
That was really awesome, I have to say. Like, the epic hero moment, definitely.
Mm-hmm. That was great.
Really inspiring and really cool. And, of course, all the fanboys are going nuts at seeing Luke Skywalker make, a final stand like that. It was just so badass.
Yeah.
Yeah, it worked.
Yeah definitely. Dan, you were just talking a minute ago about things that we haven't seen before. Another thing on my list here. Oh, God. Princess Leia.
Yeah.
Mary fucking Poppins.
Yeah.
What was that, guys?
That was really weak.
That was terrible.
I was really disappointed. Yeah. I'm such a Carrie Fisher fan. And that Bright Lights documentary this year is one of my favorite movies of the year still. And so I really was excited to see how they were going to sort of handle that whole situation with this. And I honestly found myself kind of wanting it to end in the beginning. I had my little moment sort of early on going, okay, that's it. Okay, goodbye, Leia. See you later. And then it just sort of kept going on, and it really didn't pay off to keep it going.
Yeah, I'm very... Okay, so here's the thing. I'm glad that we got many scenes with Leia. I'm glad that Carrie Fisher really, really took ownership of this character once again. And I love the conflict that it creates for the Kylo Ren character.
Mm-hmm.
My issue is that if they knew they had an easy out with the ship exploding, her being in space, I don't know exactly. You got to remember this. She died a year ago in December, and the film is obviously slated to come out a year later in December. I don't know if by that point they said she was done shooting all of her scenes. I'm under the impression then that production had wrapped, and then they're in post-production now for a whole year. So I know that they probably didn't... They made a decision that they weren't going to CGI her, and they weren't going to adjust the story or the movie or anything like that. I'm starting to think that might be a mistake.
Yes.
And I say this because they literally had an opportunity here to write her character off-screen in a way that also achieves, I think, still the same effect for the Kylo Ren character.
Right.
So you don't have to sacrifice story or anything like that. You don't have to have anybody do any reshoots or anything. You probably just have to get really creative maybe with the editing, in the third act when she wakes up from this coma, I guess, And... Now, maybe they tried playing around with that. Maybe they saw it couldn't work. I don't know. But when you have Ridley Scott replacing Kevin Spacey with Christopher Plummer, reshooting all these scenes and making a release date, within 1 month, I struggle, with why couldn't they just do that here? Not replace an actor, obviously, but why could they not somehow, some way make this work? The reason why I'm asking all this is because in the next film, they have to write her off somehow, some way. And I feel like no matter which way they choose to do it, it's not going to work.
Yeah, he passed the buck. He's like, it's your problem now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And
they had the moment. They really did.
They had multiple moments where she could have died and it would have worked.
Yes. Now we're going to have to deal with an off-screen death. We're going to have to deal with maybe B-roll footage.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
They said they're not going to CGI her the way they did Tarkin in Rogue One. So, I mean, you tell me. It seems to me that obviously from a storyline standpoint, Leia is supposed to maybe be the thing that makes Kylo Ren actually turn, towards the good side potentially.
Yeah.
You figure he didn't have the balls to actually kill her, and pull the trigger.
Right.
So I think they were toying around with that idea and they were going to somehow bring it back for the third film, and a face-to-face confrontation between, Ben Solo and his mother. But
yeah,
we're not going to get that now, so.
No. I have a note here that says, did Leia really just say, get your head out of your cockpit? Did she say that?
Yep.
Yeah, she did. And the whole thing with her just flying through space and everything, I get it. Leia has a connection to the Force, but we've never seen it demonstrated like this before. And they literally went from 0 to 100.
Yep. That was really weak.
It was terrible.
But speaking of parents, so we got the answer, maybe, to Rey's parenthood. What did you guys think of the fact that her parents are nobody?
I like it.
Do we believe it?
You don't believe it, Deanne?
I don't know. Could have been a manipulation.
Could have been. I think that would, again, cheapen it. I've seen a lot of people say that, but I loved the fact that her parents are nobody. I think that gives mm-hmm. so much weight. She matters so much more now because her parents are nobody than if her parents were the Skywalkers or whoever. I absolutely love that. And so I really hope they don't come back and say that Kylo was just, you know, messing with her. I think that would be a huge disappointment.
You know why it works? It works because it moves the story away from this being a story about destiny and that she's the chosen one or something along those lines. And it moves it more towards the common everyman.
Yeah.
A person who literally comes from nothing can change the course of the future. And in this day and age, with this society right now that we're living in, that is a message that resonates a lot more powerfully. And I definitely think, Dan, it's the truth, because the last shot of the movie, I think, yes, reinforces that.
It does.
With the little kid, you know, and that is a message of hope that is something that gets talked about so much throughout this movie, because, like I said, the Resistance is always on their last leg when they're fighting the First Order, it seems like, and they have nothing but hope and,
right,
you know, pulling shit out of their ass at the last minute somehow, some way,
yeah,
you know. But that idea of hope, I think, is one that can resonate very, very strongly.
That last shot of the kid with the broom was fantastic. I loved that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree too. I hope that kid is nobody.
Yes.
I hope that kid never comes back. I hope that is literally just meant to be a moment to show anybody, anywhere, has the ability to, you know, lead a resistance and, you know, make change, whatever the case may be. But what did you guys think of the fact that the kid used the Force to pick up the broom?
That was awesome.
But what does that say about the Force? That So we know that the Force is something that's, like, obviously, you know, an ancient. So does that mean, like, the Force can literally reside within anybody and anybody can do it? Is that what I'm getting from this, essentially? I don't know how the rules work here.
That's not how I read it. I read it simply to mean that there are so many more Jedi out there that anybody can be a Jedi. They can be found anywhere. They don't have to be some special chosen one. They can just be a kid living in poverty, sweeping a barn. So that's kind of how I read it.
Mm. All right. Well, final thoughts. Great out of 10. Oscar potential. Deanne, final thoughts.
Sure. One more visual effect that I thought was really cool was the scene with the multiple versions of Rey. I thought that scene was really effective.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I dug that for sure. That was on my high on my list. As far as my grade, this is a 6 out of 10 for me. The sound was awesome. I could see sound recognition, and I could see visual effects, but that's it.
All right, and Dan, final thoughts, grade out of 10, Oscar potential.
So as many problems as there are in this movie, there's still so much good there and so much good that will last with these characters. I loved their arcs, loved the emotion. And so despite all the problems, it's still an 8 out of 10 for me, because this is something that I'm going to rewatch numerous times, and I have a feeling will grow on me the more I watch it. So 8 out of 10 Oscar prospects, I agree. Visual effects and the sound categories, I think I would love to see production design in there for a few of those scenes, but I'm not sure that can happen.
Yeah, so final thoughts from me. I think it's good. I don't think it's great. I was expecting greatness, and I think that was maybe a problem here. But, I mean, especially after I was reading all these critics' reviews, I definitely think it put my mind in the wrong headspace for this. I love the twists. I love the twists in this story so much. I love where it sets up the characters heading into the final film. I think that the connection between Rey and Kylo Ren is extraordinary. And I really almost am in awe of Adam Driver and what he has done with the Kylo Ren character. Like, I know this is supposed to be Rey's story, but I don't know anymore if that's the case, because she's not so much the focal point of this movie. They really give a tremendous amount of screen time to Finn, which doesn't really go anywhere for him as a character, unfortunately. Poe, which, you know, does. And, I mean, they give a lot to Kylo Ren as well. So where Force Awakens made it seem like this was Rey's story and this was like Rey's the new Luke, The Last Jedi does away with that. And it's not about Rey. She might be the most important person in the group, but it's about this whole group of characters. It's about the resistance. And Johnson really establishes that with the theme of hope and how hope can come from literally anybody. And it doesn't have to be this special person. It's like literally the opposite of Game of Thrones in a way, where Jon Snow is like the chosen one and is leading all of the people against evil. Rey is not going to be that character. And I know that, and I can see that a lot of the storytelling decisions are upsetting people who had this expectation heading in. And now they're very, very fearful for the third film and just the overall trilogy in general. They feel like Star Wars is ruined with The Last Jedi. I don't think it's ruined. I just don't think it's as perfect of a movie-going experience as I thought The Force Awakens was. It's definitely a lot more challenging. And if I may, it's more interesting, if anything. And I think it's going to take some time to work its way over people. I'm sitting in the positive camp for this one, but not like enthusiastic, you know, pacing issues, runtime issues, moments of forced humor. I don't know why Luke had to be sipping on the milk from that animal. Like, it just makes up. There are things in this movie that just don't make sense to me that I feel like could have been cut out, could have shaved the runtime down. There is a great 2-hour movie within The Last Jedi that is fast-paced, action-packed, you know, lots of character moments. But instead, it feels like the movie does a roller coaster of, all right, we're going to, you know, go up, 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 and it's going to be slow, and it's going to be boring, and I'm going to doze off a little bit. And then the drop comes, and it's like, oh, my God, and I'm like freaking out over here, you know? And then it seems like it just winds up, and it does it all over again, where you're just going in and out of the movie, as you said before, Deanne. So 7 out of 10 from me. I'll admit, when I first got out of the film, I had an 8 out of 10 because I was so elated and I was like, oh, it was awesome. Oh God. I thought about the movie for like an hour and I was like, oh no, It's not good. That's not good at all. I dropped my grade down to a 5, and then landed at a 7. Just kept going back and forth. I had a 6 at one point. I never got lower than 5 and I never got higher than 8. So I landed at 7. And it might go up to 8. Might go back down to 6. I don't know. I'm definitely going to give it a rewatch and we'll know for sure. Oscar potential, I agree. Both sound categories. Visual effects. Unfortunately, it will not get as many nominations as Force Awakens because quite frankly, and many people will disagree with me on this, I don't think it is as good. So, with that said, Deanne, where can they find you on the internet?
I am at TweedleDD33.
And Dan Howitt, where can they find you on the internet?
You can follow me on Twitter at HowittDK, and you can also catch my main show, The Screeners Podcast, and you can follow us on Twitter at ScreenersCast.
And you can find me at Next Best Picture. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening to this review of Star Wars The Last Jedi. You can subscribe to the Next Best Picture podcast on iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player FM, and on CastBox. Be sure to leave us a review on iTunes. Let us know what you think of the show. And please, for the love of God, do not send me death threats because I have complaints against The Last Jedi. I would really appreciate
that. They're
coming. I know they're coming. I know they are. Just, I don't think they're warranted. I think my complaints are pretty valid. But with that said, feel free to send us a message. Let us know what you think of the show. Tweet at me, whatever the case may be. We will see you all in a galaxy far, far away next time.